Cabinet today approved the Local Government Law Reform Bill for introduction, which amends a number of acts, including the Rates Rebate Act, which enables improvements to the rebate from the 1st of July this year, in line with government election policy. We've agreed to develop a new strategy for upskilling the workforce, focusing on literacy, numeracy and language skills, to be developed in close consultation with industry and education providers. That's work under the supervision of Michael Cullen. With respect to discussion documents, there is one to be released on regulations, which would be promulgated under the new securities legislation bill presently before Parliament, in the name of Leanne Malzeal. We've agreed to the release of discussion document on proposed standards and criteria for accreditation as a building consent authority under the Building Act 2004, Clayton Cosgrove's name, and we've also noted a report on the review of the operation of the Motor Vehicle Sales Act 2003 to be tabled in Parliament shortly, and the discussion paper based on proposals, and that report will be released later in the year. Coming up this week in the House, a solid week of government legislation, hoping to advance the four-way trade agreement bill to completion, the one between New Zealand, Chile, Singapore and Brunei. Also hoping to complete the tax bill in Peter Dunn's name through the third reading, make progress on the legal services amendment bill, and if there's time, progress on the New Zealand Sign Language Bill. Otherwise, coming up this week, obviously the US Secretary, Assistant Secretary of State's been in town today. I've just had a good meeting with him myself, mainly focusing on regional issues around the East Asia Summit and ASEAN. And it's good to see an Assistant Secretary of State here. It's around 12 years since one last visited. Significant figures out this week, obviously balance of payments, December quarter at the end of the week, and the GDP figures for the December quarter at the end of the week also. I have circulated a statement, which I assume explains most of the scurrying out of the room, saying that I have accepted the resignation of David Parker as Attorney General. Mr. Parker accepts that he made mistakes in filing annual returns to the company's office. I can see no evidence that anyone was harmed by these mistakes, but nonetheless, I agree that they do justify my accepting his resignation, and he will be available to talk to media when I have finished. Any questions?
Did you seek his resignation or did he offer it?
He offered it. We obviously discussed the situation, and he believed that the mistakes were not in line with the high standards he himself sets for Attorney General.
Did you assist him in reaching the conclusions, sir?
I'm sure the discussion was of assistance. No, I don't consider it material to the other portfolios. It's material to this one, where you expect an Attorney General to meet the high standards.
So you raised the question.
Correct.
So why is there a higher standard for the Attorney General?
Because the Attorney General is the government's chief law officer. This would not appear to be a serious mistake, but it is a mistake, and it shouldn't have been made.
Is it a decision that he's broken the law?
Well, he agrees that he made mistakes in the filing. I think you have to put those questions to him. He's an honourable person, and when the matter was raised by me this morning, he's had no hesitation saying, yes, I have made a mistake.
Do you think that even now, based on possible prosecution, could that be just
a stay on? Well, that's a matter for those who administer the company's office and scrutinise the returns.
What changed between this morning? I'm seeing you quoted on radio saying, what is the effect that you weren't going to do an inquiry into every smear, blood, and this and that and the same? What changed?
Well, nothing's changed. At 6:30 this morning, when I did my pre-record with Mr. Holmes, as I do every Monday morning, he drew to my attention an article which I'd never heard of, hadn't seen in that particular magazine, In fact, I've had Mr. Holmes a general answer, which was that I wasn't going to launch an inquiry every time Investigate magazine launched a smear on someone, which on average was once a month. Well, I'm satisfied that there is very little of substance in the article, but where there is substance is with respect to mistakes being made in a company's office filing. That is relevant to holding a warrant as Attorney General.
Do you think you could ask for a degree of rehabilitation and could get a job there?
Oh, I've given no consideration for that at all. The decision today is to accept the resignation. I've spoken with Dr. Cullen, who, as you know, is a busy minister. It's his view, having served as Attorney General, that the workload is not great. In fact, he said he thinks he has most of the workload anyway, arising out of his doing the foreshore and seabed issues, and he doesn't anticipate it being a heavy burden.
Is this something David Lapp should have described as the selection
process? Well, I don't think it's been something that's ever been in his mind as a serious issue.
He didn't disclose it to you?
No, it's never been disclosed before, but then I don't think he's ever really thought of it before.
Are you unhappy that another one of the cabinet has dragged up through the markets and through a wide investigation and
now
had something
to take? Yes, I'm unhappy. I'm also aware that late last week Mr. Parker received an anonymous letter from Dunedin which told him that Mr. Hyde was down making a range of inquiries into his affairs again. So, as I've said before, there's a style of politics going on, which is to find every little blemish that's possible on every person's character, and one does wonder where this will end. I understand that some in the gallery may have made inquiries about this particular kind of practice with respect to filing of returns today. It apparently isn't uncommon. That doesn't make it right. But again, I say, people in glass houses are throwing a lot of stones.
Does that indicate that you're ready to come out with something?
No, it doesn't indicate anything. It's just an observation that people in glass houses are throwing a lot of stones.
Does it reflect on the credibility of the government with so many ministers to block portfolios and to resolve
them? Well, what it reflects is where there's a serious issue, something is done. If someone admits to a mistake with respect to filing and they hold the position of Attorney General, that's deemed incompatible.
Would it be the case that you've acted swiftly, or he has, because you couldn't stand the idea of it dragging, you know, out in Parliament for weeks to come?
No, it's because it wouldn't be defensible. Clearly there has been a mistake made with filing, and I don't consider that compatible with the position of Attorney General.
So calling it a mistake, I mean, essentially he seems to have given false information. Is that a mistake, or is it a mistake if he gave false information?
Well, I think you'll have to raise that with him.
His business dealings with Mr. Hislop and Leland, it looks like a fairly tortured affair, but is there grounds there that you think perhaps he's not a fit person to be in?
No, I don't believe so. There are, of course, a number of Dunedin MPs and former Dunedin MPs and the former Dr. Cullen who are well aware of Mr. Hislop's record. I don't believe, apart from this, there's really anything much of substance in the article at all.
Did he endeavour to retain the post in the first instance?
No.
Does he get a salary cut as a result of this, or is it not?
No, I think there's one rate for the job.
Prime Minister, just quickly on another issue on the spending issue. Don Lash is saying today that supplying his advice and the treatment of the
people. I think that's a simply absurd allegation.
He cites the fact that there have been three prima facie cases in relation to Labor, no prosecution has resulted, and yet there were two cases that were brought against his own MPs. And that's where he makes the allegation that the police are maybe favouring Labor over National.
Well, I seem to recall in the Ardern case it was dropped, so I'm surprised he keeps dragging that up. In the case of Dr. Smith, of course, something did go all the way to trial. And as I recall, a judge went on the record saying he simply didn't believe what Dr. Smith had said and found accordingly. But I think Dr. Brash really needs to take some better advice about what a prima facie case is. A prima facie case is not evidence of anything that will stand up in court. And the police make routine decisions week in, week out about all sorts of people and organisations as to whether it is worth their time to bring a prosecution. And you need to have a fairly reasonable belief in mounting a prosecution that you can succeed.
Now, you can always say that police officers are intimidated or why they were afraid to lay the charges.
Absolutely not.
Now that the police investigation is over, is there any more thought being given to whether or not that money should be paid back?
Well, I think that's really a matter for the ongoing work of the parliamentary services to look at. We in effect have three levels of action going on the whole electoral expense matter. We have the review of the Electoral Act, which Mark Burton as Minister of Justice is overseeing. We'll have the normal triennial review of the election and how it was handled by the relevant select committee. And then we have the ongoing work of the Parliamentary Service Commission. And out of all that, I hope we will get better law and better practice. Look, I haven't the slightest idea. Really, the Parliamentary Service has to work out how it's going to grapple with the issue of guidelines around leaders' funds. And it's quite clear that nothing Labor has done with leaders' funds is out of sync with what any other party has done with leaders' funds over quite a period of years.
Did you sign off the expenditure of your leaders' funds for the pledge?
I don't sign off detailed items of expenditure, no.
This is a big item, though, more than
four. No, but I don't sign it off. From my point of view, there is a leaders' budget. The leaders' budget has, for the last three elections, funded the pledge card, and there's never been any issue. I welcome clarification, because it's always my approach to work within the rules as we understand them.
So you were aware, if you didn't literally sign it off, you were aware that it was being paid for?
Well, of course, because it had been since 1999 and there'd never been an issue.
Last week you lost two pieces of, there were two pieces of Labour unfriendly legislation through. Could it be basically more chummy with the Maori Party?
Well, I think that In a parliament like this, there are a number of pieces of legislation which will get an introduction and a first reading and go off to select committee. Whether or not they ever pass or pass in the form in which they are introduced is quite another matter. With small parties in particular, they're sometimes unwilling to vote against something in the first instance that they really haven't had the resources to study. At the end of a select committee process, they may be in a position to make a judgment. But I don't think there's any need for the government to get too agitated about it. It's a fact of life that we're a minority government. We've been a minority government for 6.25 years with various configurations, and we will work through the process.
Yeah, but in the previous two parliaments, that sort of legislation was not done by the Greens.
In the previous two parliaments, there was, broadly speaking, a majority for Labour, Alliance, Greens, Labour, Progressive, Greens, if that majority needed to be used on something like labour relations legislation. That now isn't the case. But nor do I accept it's necessarily the case that any bit of nasty labour legislation can pass all the way through a third reading. I think it's a bit of water to go under the bridge yet.
On the campaign spending, what do you think of all the general comments that
Well, I saw the comment. I simply take it as a further incentive to the political parties here to work on a good set of guidelines.
Do you think it's best that you do it, or maybe something like that? You personally, the Parliament
board, Well, I think that's something for parliamentary services to consider. They could consider getting in outside people to look at it and advise. That's been done before. Or they could hammer it out between the parties on the commission.
Prime Minister, on the issue of Chris Carter's handling of Bongomansara, are you happy with the way your Conservative Minister overall has been to serve in the Environment Court last week?
Well, let's get a few things clear. He did not overrule the decision of the Environment Court. The Environment Court, under the law, makes a recommendation to the Minister. It doesn't make a decision for the Minister then to accept or reject. The Minister takes the recommendation and then must consider, on the advice of the Department, what to do. Having considered the recommendation of the Court, having considered the advice of the Department, he declined to give his consent to the proposal.
Thomas, you may have already answered this, but David Parker continues on as Energy Minister and Transport Minister. Now, what's the public perception, do you believe, that'll put out there when he's obviously transgressed the rules as Attorney General?
As I say, a mistake's been made, but it's a mistake which has not harmed any person in any way whatsoever. And I think the matter should rest with the resignation as Attorney General.
What about your talks with Christopher Hill? Anything tangible come out of that? Or?
Well, with respect to the talks I had with him, we picked up where we were a few months ago in Port Moresby, and I thought we had the opportunity for a good 40 minutes of discussion, particularly around the regional issues. I understand he had a very good discussion and briefing with not only Mr. Peters, but also with the officials on the Officials Committee on Domestic and External Security Cooperation, who were able, right around their many fields, to brief him on the work New Zealand does and how our government agencies work together in areas like counter-terrorism, and understand he was quite impressed by that. So I think that he has left with a very favourable impression of the kind of work that New Zealand does on matters very close to the US heart.
Did you just talk about an FTA deal at all?
No, I didn't myself, because I was aware that had been extensively covered in other meetings.
Can I just ask the more definition of Mr. Parker's mistake? What is the mistake?
The mistake is not filing an accurate return.
And is that a mistake, or is it something more sinister?
I don't think there was any sinister intent, nor was any person whatsoever harmed by it.
So if that's the bar, that no one was harmed, I mean, what is infringing a law, you know, an inland land revenue law? I mean, is no one's harmed from that? I mean, is that still
infringement?
Right. If it doesn't hurt anyone, then that's kind of okay?
Well, I'm making a judgment about what's appropriate for an Attorney General. And my judgment is that a mistake like that isn't appropriate.
And you are satisfied that he has made no personal gain?
Absolutely satisfied.
Isn't it more than a mistake? It's a lie, surely.
Well, it's a mistake. It shouldn't have been made. And he's lost the job over it.
But has he lied?
Well, I'm not going to use those words. What is perfectly clear is that this mistake has cost him the very prestigious job of being the government's top law officer.
So it was you that basically fired him rather than resigned?
No, he agreed the resignation was the appropriate course.
Yeah, but you would have suggested that he resigned, presumably.
I understand that before we got to the point of discussing that, he had already had discussion with others and reached that conclusion.
And how will this matter figure when you next do a cabinet reshuffle?
Well, he won't be reappointed as Attorney General.
And you're comfortable that Dr. Carroll doesn't have too much on his plate?
Absolutely. He is confident that it's not a heavy extra burden for him.
Thank you.